اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك، وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة، وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة، وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك، فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي، وأقل يا غفور عثرتي، فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يده، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير، مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما، وغناك عنه قديم، وهو عندي كثير، وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي، أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك، الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا، لا خائفا ولا وجلا، مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك. فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي، علمك بعاقبة الأمور. فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي. يا ربي إنك تدعوني فولني عنك، وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك، وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك، كأن لي التطول عليك، فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك. فارحم عبدك الجاهل، وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك، مجري الفلك، مسخر الرياح، فالق الإسباح، ديان الدين، رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد حلمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه، وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق، باسط الرزق، فالق الإصباح، ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى، تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله، ولا شبيه يشاكله، ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء، وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه، ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصي، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة مونقة قد أراني. فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين، مبير الظالمين، مدرك الهاربين، نكال الظالمين، صريخ المستصرخين، موضع حاجات الطالبين، معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق، ويرزق ولا يرزق، ويطعم ولا يطعم، ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى، وهو حي لا يموت، بيده الخير، وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم صل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين، عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة، وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك، صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر، وحفه بملائكتك المقربين، وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك، استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله، مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له، أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا، يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به، وانصره وانتصر به، وانصره نصرا عزيزا، وافتح له فتحا يسيرا، واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك، حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخالق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهلاه، وتذل بها النفاق وأهلاه، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المم به شعثنا، واشعب به صدعنا، وارتق به فتقنا، وكثر به قلتنا، وأعزز به ذلتنا، وأغن به عائلنا، واقض به عن مغرمنا، واجبر به فقرنا، وسد به خلتنا، ويسر به عسرنا، وبيض به وجوهنا، وفك به أسرنا، وأنجح به طلبتنا، وأنجز به مواعيدنا، واستجب به دعوتنا، وأعطنا به سؤلنا، وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا، وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا، وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا، واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا، إله الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله، وغيبة ولينا، وكثرة عدونا، وقلة عددنا، وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا، فصل على محمد وآل محمد وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله، وبضر تكشفه، ونصر تعزه، وسلطان حق تظهره، ورحمة منك تجللنا، وعافية منك تلبسنا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. الحمد لله again for being able to be living through this month of Ramadan, being able to observe it, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to go through this month of Ramadan in a way where he is more pleased. As the dua of the second day says, قَرِّبْنِي فِيهِ مِنْ رِضَاكُ, or something along those lines, the Arabic, that get me closer to your rida and satisfaction, that you're satisfied with me, you're pleased with me. Tonight what I'd like to mention briefly is that this month, inshallah, we're going to have Yawmul Quds, and we need to talk about it and think about it before it arrives. I strongly recommend, I personally have already made my plans, whether anyone else does this or not, at least personally, on a personal capacity, I plan on standing outside the so-called Israeli consulate and show my protest against their very existence as that entity, that fabricated, illegitimate entity called the Israeli government, which doesn't really exist. It's an occupation. And from the river to the sea, the whole thing is Palestine, and it all must be freed. I personally am going to repent for not doing that last year. We saw many other groups having their protests, people having protests about wearing masks, and that didn't seem to be an issue. But then for us, for Quds Day, we didn't take it as seriously, and we didn't have an outdoor activity. We limited it to online activities. I personally am going to repent from that, and one of the steps towards that is to be involved with a physical presence in that regard, in front of the Israeli consulate, inshallah, to do our taklif. Our taklif is to participate in Quds. It's not an option. We have leaders that lead us under the guidance of the Imam of our time, Imam Khomeini, said it's a must, it's a taklif. We must have Quds Day, we must participate throughout the globe. It's not limited to one country, one area, Muslim countries. No, it's a global event. All Muslimin and anyone that agrees with Muslimin and sees the truth of their call for the Zionist regime to be removed from that part of the world can come together and should come together and participate. This is the way that inshallah all Muslimin and all those who realize the injustice of the Zionist entity in those occupied lands, inshallah, in the near future will march to Quds and make sure that the Zionist regime exists no more. It'll be a people's liberation of that land, and not only the Palestinians. The Palestinians have been doing their share for over a century, really, because the atrocities of the Zionist entity started before what is considered the establishment of the Zionist regime. From the early 20th century, perhaps even before that, it had begun. The Palestinian people have been doing their share. May Allah bless them, help them, give them more stamina, give them more strength. It's very difficult. You and I would not be able to survive in that type of condition. But they have survived. They have been fighting. They're living in those lands is fighting, because what the Zionists want is for them to leave their lands, to go live somewhere else. They talked about this deal of the century, this mal'oon fool, Trump, talked about it, and part of that was to get all Palestinians to be transferred over to Jordan. Leave them in the desert, go wherever you want, just don't be here. They choose to live there, that's a jihad. They choose to live there under occupation, under very severe conditions. And they don't only do that, and they're not only engaged in that form of jihad. They're also engaged in various forms of jihad, including what Hamas is doing, including what people do in support of Hamas, including what Jihad al-Islami does, and including whatever other organization that has organized itself, and they have organized themselves on the lines of resistance, resisting the occupation of the Israelis, the atrocities of the Israelis, defending the Israeli, the Palestinian entity, Palestinian lives, and the heritage of the Muslimin, the heritage of believers. The Zionists are not Jewish. They don't believe in Judaism. They are a racist movement that doesn't believe in God. They will not allow Jews to worship Judaism in that land. They will make sure to remove all signs of monotheism from that land. And therefore, all people, all Muslimin, all Christians, all monotheists, all Jews should come together, as some have, and go against this. This is a taklif. And I hope that the communities in this country and throughout the world, they realize their taklif and they get involved and engaged in a more physical presence, as we usually do for Quds Day, while we are able to practice the protocols that have been mentioned. Gathering in a location, an outdoor location, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing that has been, in fact, a lot of people, much larger crowds are gathering in indoor areas, much smaller areas. We're going to be convening outdoors. We will be social distancing. We will be wearing masks. And we will be sending a very strong message to anyone who can have ears, and those who can't have ears to hear, we will force them to hear, as we will continue this until, as we said, the people of the world will liberate Palestine from this occupation. This is very important. The next thing that, on the second night, we'd like to discuss from the Quran recitation of the day is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly mentions, go back to the verses in the second juz of the Quran that we recited right before adhan, go back to them and see how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that I know and you don't know. And that is the logic and reason behind why we need to listen to God's command as opposed to what we think based on assumptions, based on misinformation, based on ignorance, what we feel is better to do or better not to do. This is generally a very serious issue. If we want to move towards the government of the Imam of our time, the establishment of the government of the Imam of our time, move towards the zuhur of the Imam of our time, read Dua al-Iftitah that we just read tonight. We say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask him to bring the Imam of our time to revive Islam, to uphold the deen, to bring back to life the verses of the Quran, the teachings of the Quran. If we're going to have trouble understanding them, if we're going to have trouble, meaning what I mean by understanding them, the rule is pretty clear. There are multiple rules in Islam that are pretty clear in the Quran. There's no ambiguity to it whatsoever. The problem is we're not willing to give in to it. I'm talking about Muslimin. I'm talking about mu'mineen. We're not willing to accept it. We try to say, no, that's not what the Quran says. It means this. It means the other. Changing the meanings. Al-ayadu billah. What do you think the Imam of our time is going to do? The Imam of our time is going to come and correct those things. What are we going to do? Are we going to be against him? Let's prepare for that. This is one of the very serious preparations for the coming of the Imam of our time. We have got to keep repeating to ourselves those verses. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. God knows and you don't know. God knows and I don't know. God knows and we don't know. This is important. If we don't recognize that what we think we know, we don't actually know. If we are to make decisions based on our limited knowledge, then okay, and there are cases where God says, go based on your knowledge. In medicine, God didn't provide us instruction. He said, go learn on yourself, on your own. We go learn. Sometimes we make mistakes. We make a vaccine. There's issues with it. We correct it. We fix it up. We use it again until we perfect it. And then another virus comes like this new one and we have no clue how to deal with it. And again, there's a process of learning and giving solutions, trying solutions, working on it until we perfect it. And then something else is going to happen. We've been told to act based on our understanding. And we say this, that's the best we can do. That's what we are obligated. The obligation is, as you understand, take measures. There are times that God says, no, you don't understand and don't go by your judgment. I'm telling you, do this. This is the rule. That is the rule. I don't want to give specific examples for us not to get involved with this. It's unfortunate that I don't want to do that because I don't want people to start getting involved with that process that we're trying to say not to get involved with to begin with. But in order to establish that, we need to emphasize this line. Keep telling ourselves, I don't know, God knows. Anytime anyone mentions that the Quran says A or B, whatever it is, the question shouldn't be, or the comment shouldn't be that, oh, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean it doesn't make sense? What part of Islam makes sense? We have hadith in Al-Kafi about Qiyas. This is called Qiyas. We see similar, we're like, oh, this looks like that, and that looks like this. This thing seems it would be better this way or that way. The Imams have condemned that. And then there they say, "Ad-din la tusabu bil-uqul." You're not going to understand it. There's too much. There's too much of this world, the material realm that we don't know. Let alone the spiritual. We can't understand this world, the dunya. Not even completely, forget about completely. Because we don't know what the complete understanding is, Just comparing what we have learned over the last century or two compared to what was known beforehand, we know there's tons we don't know. And God already relieves us of taking on the, you know, looking into how much it is. He says, مَا أُوتِيتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You haven't been given knowledge except a small amount. The material realm, we are not sure how much we know and how much more we don't know. And we don't even know how much of what we know is 100%, or right now we haven't been able to find a different answer to our question. We haven't found flaws with our... We don't know that, let alone above the material realm, the unseen. And then we want to tell God that His understanding is respected and it's good for Him, but we have a different view. The Quran says one thing, we give ourselves the audacity to say, no, that's not right. That doesn't make sense. We got to change that. How can God say this? How can God say that? Allahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. He knows we don't know. He knows we don't know. There's so many. We have got to. If we want to prepare for the coming of the Imam of our time, we have to keep repeating that. And with that, going back to the verses and ahadith, saying, oh God, I don't know. I want to see what you have. And I want to understand it as accurately as possible. So I'm going to be reading those words and sentences and see what these words and sentences, God has spoken. He is more qualified and more has more expertise in language than we do. And He has said these words and sentences are clear. You don't need to add anything from outside. If there's any part of it particularly that doesn't quite make sense to you, go back to the other verses within the words that I have given you. You'll find clarity. You don't need to look outside. This doesn't mean don't refer to the Ahlul Bayt, because the Quran specifically, and one of the clear messages of the Quran is refer to the commands of the Prophet, the Sunnah of the Prophet, and refer to the Ahlul Bayt. All three of those are in the Quran, clearly. What it means is that to understand what these words mean, you don't need anything but that. That's what the word means. That's what the sentences mean. We have to go back to that and understand what that means. And get rid of any understanding I have regarding Islam, regarding the deen, that doesn't conform and match with the verses of the Quran. And then with the Quran, then we can go to hadith and see whatever hadith conforms with the Quran, explains it further, gives us an example, elaborates more, tells us that specific matter that the Quran alludes to. Sometimes the Quran alludes to something, gives a description that is not one that you can by itself identify what it was. For example, أَطِيعُ اللَّهِ or إِنَّمَا, excuse me, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. The Quran describes that your awliya are the Prophet Allah and the Prophet and the believers that pray and give charity while they're in ruku'. It doesn't say Ali ibn Abi Talib. For reasons, for wisdoms, God is the one who chose those words. But it gives you a description that requires you to go to the words of the Prophet to find the one who has description. Who is it? You find it in the words of the Prophet Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, and none other than him. We understand there is a person that is a believer. God considers him a believer. And he is said to have been upholding the prayer and giving charity while he's in the state of ruku'. That's not a normal incident. That's something very particular. So we know it's referring to something particular. That's the clarity we get to the Quran. Therefore, if anybody wants to say, oh, this is generally saying mu'mineen. No, that's other verses. This is talking about a particular person. It can't be talking about. The clarity of the verse tells us it's about a particular person. Go search the words of the Prophet. Who is it talking about? And then you look at the Prophet. He says, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. This is an example. When you find the Quran with clarity, then you can go and then you find hadith attributed to the Prophet. Like the Mal'un Muawiyah attributed to the Prophet. He paid Samura ibn Jundab, la'anatullah alayhima, to fabricate hadith that the verse of the Quran that says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا.
Of the people, there are those whose words about the dunya are very nice. They amaze you. They astonish you. Aminul Mu'mineen's words, look at him in Nahjul Balagha. Beautiful how he describes the dunya. Then the verses, وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. But he's the worst enemy. The most staunch enemy.
Muawiyah paid Samura ibn Jundab hundreds of thousands of coins, silver or gold. Hundreds of thousands. He poured them before him in his house.
He said, I want you to say, the Prophet said, I heard the Prophet say, this is Ali ibn Abi Talib.
When you read the Quran, you find the words of the Prophet, you find Ali ibn Abi Talib in the Quran multiple occasions, you realize that's a fabrication. That can't be true. That's a lie. You read the Quran about men and women and how men and women, gender does not define you being better than the other, including the intellect.
And you read hadith, it says the Prophet said, oh, women, because of their gender, are deficient in their intellect. You say, no, that's a lie. That's not, the Prophet never said that. Why? The Quran says that gender does not define whether you're better or not. And in intellect and aql is, as hadith says, ma'ubida bihir rahman. Aql is what the Quran tells us to use to understand it. Aql is the faculty that helps us receive the guidance from the Quran. If a gender has more than the other, then the gender that has more is definitely better. But the Quran says no. Gender does not define if you're better or not. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Gender doesn't make you better or worse. It's not the case that if you're female or male, you have more or less intelligence. These things are things that we need to go and clarify. We have these problems.
In preparation for the coming of the Imam, who is going to take all the teachings of Islam back to what the Prophet had taught, and relieve us all of all the fabrications that are there, we're going to be surprised.
One of the accounts is, I heard one of the teachers say, I haven't seen the hadith, يَأْتِ بِدِينٍ جَدِيدٍ. He'll come with a new religion. Obviously, he won't come with a new religion. The Prophet was told, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رَجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَخَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَخَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. He's خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. He's a seal of prophets. He told Ali ibn Abi Talib, أنت مني بمنزلة هارون من موسى إلا أنه لا نبي بعدي. You're to me as Harun was to Musa, except that there's no Nabi after me. Anbiya are the ones that bring religion. They have guidance that differs with the other. A'imma did not bring a new message. They were mawdi'ur risala. They are mawdi'ur risala. They are the ones that continue the mission of the Prophet, the message of the Prophet. There's nothing new. So why does it say يَأْتِ بِدِينٍ جَدِيدٍ? What he says is so different than the Muslimin understand. This is not about, oh, say, oh, the Sunnis. No. You Shia, I'm talking to you, brothers, sisters. Don't think that your tashayyu is very refined and there's nothing, no baloney in it. There's plenty of baloney. That over the centuries, unfortunately, we have taken and misinterpreted, misunderstood, and now we worship God based on those things that are actually not true. They're not accurate. We have a responsibility to refine it, take it back. And the only way, this is the month of the Quran, Rabi'ul Quran, the only way is to be in constant, continuous contact with the Quran, thinking about it, reading it, trying to understand it, discuss it. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to do that. I apologize for the length. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask him to help us be his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all of us and all people worldwide of the pandemic in whatever way and whatever time that you think is best. We ask you, though, to make that sooner rather than later, as you have told us to ask, and assume that it'll be over soon, inshallah. We think well of God, and we know that there's wisdom behind this, and we know that he will relieve it. Inna ma'al usri yusra, thumma inna ma'al usri yusra. There will be ease, and this will go away. We ask Allah for it to be sooner rather than later. We ask Allah to bless the souls of all those who've lost their lives in this pandemic, those members of our community, Sister Anna, who is part of our community, Brother Zaki, our reciter's mother, and those who were part of the community, and I didn't know them well, and those who were family members and relatives of our community members, and the community of believers worldwide, whoever has lost, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless their souls and to bless the survivors with patience in the absence of their loved ones, inshallah. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.